Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the Solemnity of Christ the King, 2009.
A reading from the book of the prophet Daniel. As the visions during the night continued, I saw one like a son of man coming on the clouds of heaven. When he reached the Ancient One and was presented before him, the one like a son of man received dominion, glory, and kingship. All peoples, nations, and languages serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not be taken away. The kingship shall not be destroyed. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Lord is King. He is robed in majesty.
The Lord is King. He is robed in majesty.
The Lord is King, in splendor robed. Robed is the Lord. And girt about with strength.
The Lord is King, he is robed in majesty.
He has made the world firm, not to be moved. Your throne stands firm from of old, from everlasting you are, O Lord.
The Lord is King, he is robed in majesty.
Your decrees are worthy of trust indeed. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, for length of days.
The Lord is King, he is robed in majesty. A reading from the book of Revelations. Jesus Christ is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, who has made us into a kingdom, priest for his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming amid the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. All the peoples of the earth will lament him. Yes, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, the one who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Pilate said to Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own, or have others told you about me?" Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom did belong to this world, my attendants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not here." So Pilate said to him, "Then you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say, I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Father Brian and I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello everyone. And Father Brian, I am so glad you're back this week.
I was going to say, we're going to try to make this podcast longer than 8 minutes today. But no, thank you for doing that though, Dawn. Last week I came down, it was a little cold. I wasn't certain if I was going to have the flu or what it was going to turn into. Fortunately, it was just a 24-hour cold or something like that. And I was back in operation the next day. But of course, I missed the podcast, and you did fill in last minute very well, so thank you for doing that.
I'm sure all our listeners are glad you're back this week, though. I'm just the support system here.
Okay. You're more than that, Dawn. Today we're celebrating the Feast of Christ the King, or the Solemnity, actually, of Christ the King. We celebrate this every year at the end of the year, the kingship of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it kind of goes along with the theme, Dawn, for the National Catholic Youth Conference that we'll both be going to in Kansas City, Kansas this week.
I know, so
NCYC, as it's called. And the theme of that is Christ Reigns, I believe.
Right.
Now, have you done anything to talk to the kids, or do you have any ideas if you wanted to give like a sneak preview of what you might be doing with your youth or something in terms of the theme of Christ reigning and his kingship or anything like that? Or did you, other than wearing, I know we're wearing crowns
or something.
Crowns,
yes. Well, actually, we I have a fairly big group going. We have 29 total, so it's a lot of
preparation. You're like three times the size of my parish. I think we've got 8 people going.
Well, that's a good number, actually.
Well, I said, you know, when I was in high school, I could never get 8 girls to do anything. And I've got 8 high school girls going.
Awesome. Well, we should probably explain a little bit. This happens biannually, and it's sponsored by the National Federation for Catholic Youth Ministry. And usually there's about 20,000 to 22,000 young people and their chaperones, and they gather in one place. And so this year it's in Kansas City, and as you said, it's Christ Reigns. And as we did our preparation, we talked a lot about what does it mean to reign. We sort of did a play on words when we did our big display to ask people to give us money. We did raindrops, but then we talked with the kids, yes, why are we doing rain? Because Christ reigns. Well, that's not really what it means. And so we talked about what that means, like a kingdom and things like that. And then actually just on our past retreat, we had a few weeks ago, our theme was walking in the rain, R-E-I-G-N. And we sort of played off of that similar theme, but also talked about discipleship. When you walk in the reign of God, you're following as a disciple. So that's been the St. Mary's Youth Ministry update.
Excellent. Well, and one of the things that I like is to explain, and a lot of times people don't know this, the title Son of Man that we hear a lot of times in the gospel comes from this image of the first reading. And it is a royal, or it's actually a divine title, and we hear in the first reading from Daniel today that one like a son of man received dominion, glory, and kingship. And it's that title that Jesus is talking about later on. It also talks about him coming on a chariot and to judge or to rule the nations. He's coming from the sun and from the east and everything. And so this title, when Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man, he's referring to himself as this messianic figure a lot of times. And that's really important, I think, in a lot of the scriptures, because it helps us to understand, you know, a lot of times, first of all, most of us today don't really grasp that. You know, when he says Son of Man, we know he's referring to himself, but we don't really get the full meaning of that title, that he's not only referring to himself, but himself as a divine figure. And then, of course, in the gospel, we have the whole question about his kingdom. And Jesus responds to Pilate when he's being questioned, "My kingdom does not belong to this world." And I think that goes right along with that Son of Man title. It's a messianic kingdom. It's a supernatural kingdom, or an eschatological. That means dealing with the end of times. And a lot of our readings coming up are eschatological.
I love that
word. Don't you? Isn't it great? Eschatological. It's like one of those big words that makes you sound smart.
Right.
But it is dealing with the fact that Christ's kingdom is not here on earth, but it is the kingdom of heaven. But it's a kingdom that we are entrusted to begin to make present on earth. See, the fact that he has come is the fact that marks the fact that we're in a new era, and we are now in the beginning of the kingdom of God. And so we are to act like we're in the beginning of the kingdom of God. And that's one of the things that will come up over and over again in scripture, is by following Christ's commands, we are turning from the ways of the world, hopefully, if we are following those commands, and living as we will live in the kingdom of God. Now, we struggle because we're still in this earthly world trying to live as we could in the kingdom of God, and that means that we're always going to live it imperfectly. So we're not going to be able to live out all these virtues with perfection, or with even close to the perfection that we'll be able to live them out in heaven. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't try to do that, Dawn. Mm. So one of the things that we're constantly doing is trying to live out this kingdom of God by the way we serve each other and following that example of Christ.
You know, one of the things I think can be confusing in our mind, or it's hard to grasp the thought of Christ the King. In our world, we have this misshapen view of what a king does, our earthly kings. You know, they're all worried about having enough territory and power and things like that. But when you think about really what Christ is the king, it's more about his presence. And sort of like, so instead of territory, you can think about virtue. And instead of power, service. And wealth, is grace, I guess, would be the right way to compare all of those. And so it's then, you know, the king of France or the king of wherever.
Mm-hmm. Right. And in fact, that kingdom is so different that every time Jesus was asked to speak about it, he never directly spoke about it. He always spoke in parables. The kingdom of God is like, is, you know, one of those famous lines from the Gospels. And that's partially, my interpretation of that would be that for whatever reason, the words weren't there to say, or the images weren't there. He wasn't able to give us an image where we can fully comprehend and say, well, this is it. It's this, boom, and give us a definition. And instead, he's giving us these analogies so that we can kind of get a feel for what it's like. But ultimately, what we know is that we have these ideas, but we don't fully know what it's like to live in that kingdom. And probably like some of the things we experience here on Earth, it's something that we really won't be able to explain until we've experienced it ourselves firsthand. So it's sort of, in a sense, I guess you could say, it's kind of like that question, what does chicken taste like? You know, when Jesus says, well, it's kind of like this, it's kind of like that. But ultimately, until you've experienced or tasted chicken, you can't tell somebody else what chicken tastes like.
I'm pretty sure I won't ever forget that analogy.
Yeah, that's right. The kingdom of God is, what does chicken taste like? And I use it, you know, again, just to show that difference in what we experience and what the kingdom is actually like. But Jesus does always tie it to a lot of times to joyous things such as great meals and feasts and things that expand and start off small and get bigger. So things that grow. So you've got it compared to, you know, mustard seed or things, or the bread, the leaven in the bread, that kind of thing. So we know that it's a expansive kingdom and it's continually growing. And we know that it's joyous, but beyond that, we can't say, well, why is it joyous? Is it joyous because, you know, we'll be stuffed or because there'll be lots of music? It could be all of those things. It could be none of the above, but the experience will be one that's joy beyond any joy that we know. And, of course, it will be where he rules completely. And I think that's something that we do need to remember, is that that whole theme of Christ reigns is that stands in contrast to we reign. And I think that's an important thing, too, because so often we get caught up in controlling our own lives and trying to be our own masters of our own destiny and that kind of thing. And we forget that it is Christ who reigns, not us. And we try to sometimes do foolish things to show that we can reign or to show that we're in control. But the reality is that we aren't in control. God's the one in control, and Christ is in control. And ultimately, the kingdom should be a place where we let go of our attempts, our feeble attempts at trying to reign, and put everything in the hands of the true king, because that's the only way we're really going to find our ultimate satisfaction.
You know, it's so true. And so sometimes I'll be praying, I'm like, okay, God, you're in control of all this, I'm nothing. And then like 20 minutes later, I yank back control thinking that I know better.
That's right. Yeah, and we like to do that. We all like to do that. We always, I think Pope Benedict in his book, Jesus of Nazareth, talks about that same dynamic when he's talking about Peter, when Jesus is explaining that the Son of Man will have to go through all the pain and suffering. And Peter says, you know, God forbid that this should happen. And what the Pope says, a lot of times we sound like Peter where we say, God forbid this should happen, and just in case God doesn't forbid it, I'm going to do my best to forbid it anyway.
That's so true.
To prevent it from happening. And I think that the Pope was right. When I read those lines, I said, yep, that's exactly what we do. That's exactly what I do, at least. So, but ultimately, we know that this feast is about Christ is the king, and we are the subjects, and we need to put ourselves in that stance to Christ, that of being subject rather than master. And if we can do that, I think that we'd all be in a great place. And of course, we will be in that great place in heaven. And Don, you and I will be in a great place in Kansas City starting tomorrow, I believe, which will be the day this thing goes up. So it'll actually be today in an odd sense. Unless you're listening to this like next year, in which case it'll be last year. The great thing about podcasting.
Well, anybody that's listening right now, well, and before the end of the 22nd, if you can offer a prayer for all of us and for our young people, that they might experience Christ reigns, we would be most appreciative.
We would indeed. And we'd be appreciative if you join us next week on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.